In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, now that Easter's come and gone, there are at least two things that are certain in Fort Wayne, Indiana. One is that spring will come, all current evidence to the contrary. The other is that call and vicarage services are soon to come, which means that we will all hear a series of chapel sermons in which the faculty attempts to impart our collective wisdom in one final shot at those who are about to leave these grounds. Well, this morning I can do nothing about the weather, and I'm not at all convinced that I have much wisdom to impart to you, especially in light of this text. For this text speaks of the most profound and yet the most basic and simple realities of our lives as Christians. Any illusions that I might have or that you might have about our own wisdom is lost in light of this text. Here we have all that I need, all that we could possibly desire for our lives. For our text speaks of the great reality of living the life of the baptized. To be baptized means to have one whose life is identified and formed by Easter itself. Our life begins not within us, but within someone else. It begins and indeed ends with the life of the Son of God. The life of the baptized is one which is identified with him in Holy Week and Easter, in his suffering, his death, his innocent blood. Paul says, "You were buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the working of God, who raised him from the dead." The life of the baptized is one which is formed by that great Holy Week message, but finally also formed by the great Easter message of the angels that Christ is not here, he is risen. "We who were dead," Paul says, "God made alive together with him." The story of Easter is the story of the baptized, that we died with Christ Jesus, God's only Son, and that on Easter we were raised with him. In the water of baptism, that became yours. That became your story. You died, you were raised. The story of Easter still so fresh in our minds these only 8 days after we celebrated the great feast is our story. The story of the baptized. And it is that story which gives to you and to me a life of real freedom. To be baptized is to be free, to be set free by Christ. It's all so easy to be curved in on ourselves, focused in on our daily questions and struggles and wondering about our own holiness and sanctity, to look at our fears and lose sight of what God has already accomplished for us. St. Paul says, "You were dead in trespasses and the circumcision of your flesh." You were dead. You were without God, without hope, without life. You could only look at death. You could only look at your life itself and find reason only to despair. But all that was changed in your baptism. God made us alive with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses, having canceled the bond which stood against us with its legal demands. These he set aside, nailing to a tree. This is God's great emancipation of the sinner. And this alone meets the soul's great need. And all of this is God's great gift to you. But make no mistake, living the life of the baptized incurs the enmity of one who would have you to be destroyed. One who is baptized into Christ has a powerful and lifelong enemy. The devil became that enemy when your old self was drowned, when your old Adam was placed under the water in the name of the triune God. That same enemy would convince you and me today that the Christ into whom we were baptized, into whose death and resurrection we were placed to share eternally, that all of this means nothing. Look at your life. What kind of life do you have? If they were to make a movie of your life, would it be perhaps subtitled, "It's a Wonderful Life, Part 2, the sequel"? It all depends on how you measure the value of your life. If it is measured by the size of your bank account, by fame or influence, there's not a pastor or a seminarian around who would have much of a quality of life. If, on the other hand, your life is measured by your identity with Christ Jesus crucified and risen, you have it all. If you take seriously what it means to live in a theology of the cross. The life of the believer has aptly been described as a cruciform life. It's a life of standing for things that the world rejects. It's a life of contending for the faith that was once delivered to the saints and meeting the challenges of those both without and even within the church who see all this as irrelevant for a modern age. It's not a life that most of us would choose, but it's not a life that we could choose. It is one that is chosen for us by the water of baptism. But it's a life of triumph. The Christ who nailed your trespasses to the tree is the Christ whom Paul says disarmed the principalities and powers and made a public example of them, triumphing over them in the cross. This is your triumph. When Christ went to the cross, when Christ rose from the dead, your triumph was assured. It is a cruciform life. A life lived under the cross. But it is a life which leads to an empty tomb. The empty tomb of Jesus. And on that great last day, your empty tomb. Amen.